is Ali Farouk Manesh, assistant men's basketball coach at Colorado State, and you're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
After the 11 o'clock hour, welcome back to The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Allo Communications Studios. Joining me now on our First Advantage Hotline, Brendan Vogt of DNVR Nuggets. Brendan, my man, this Nuggets team, 9-4, I gotta be honest. I thought November was gonna be a really difficult month for this team, but halfway through, so far so good.
Consider this, Brady. Maybe this is a difficult month for them. Maybe this is what it looks like as they... I know that sounds a little crazy, but I think those watching closely might feel like, well, they're just scratching the surface here. You know, they dealt with a couple of slower starts from Murray. You know, you get an off game from MPJ. You get some foul trouble from Jokic and all these different factors. No Bones Highland for a couple of games. And it's feeling like, okay, we're going to have to wait. Gonna have to wait to the winter to see them at full speed. And like you said, they're 9-4 all the same, tied for first in the Western Conference. Not surprising to me. I think this is what this team's made of, and I think they can get better from here.
See, that's what's insane to me, Brendan, is you're right. Maybe this is difficult for this team, but they're looking at four losses. I do still feel like, man, I said at the beginning of the season, I think it's going to take November, maybe into December, before Jamal and MPJ start to really sink back into this roster. And That's a pretty scary good thought if you're a Nuggets fan.
Has to be. I think we've seen flashes from Murray. We've also seen him struggle. And yet somehow, I think that all falls under the encouraging category, given what you just described in terms of the start they're off to. And we expected it. We expected it to be a somewhat slow start for him. Porter hits the ground running, you know, because the shot doesn't go anywhere, right? Post-surgery, there's a lot to worry about. He's definitely lost some athleticism from his youth basketball days. But the shot's there. So you drop him in, and he's going to contribute. But to the point you were just making, in this last game, we saw the chemistry with Jokic. And that's the most important thing. Can it become two separate two-man games? Can it become a three-man game? You don't want Porter to just be a talented appendage to this team. You want him to be a part of the core. And I think we're seeing that integration. It's exciting, and he's playing really well.
Brendan, there was a play against Chicago that really makes me think that Michael Porter Jr., yeah, is becoming more intertwined with this team. And that was when Caruso's guarding him somewhat at the top of the key, kind of up on the elbow. And Porter looks like he might just take a shot, but instead he passes it up to Joker. And as soon as the ball leaves his hands, he makes a cut to the rim. Joker, of course, finds him, goes up, and one. That kind of play, I didn't see a lot of that kind of stuff in his first few years with this team.
Yeah, I think it's so tough because anytime you start to see those flashes of improvement, or so far, the rug's been pulled out from under him, right? So it feels like he keeps having to start over in a sense. But I think that game in Chicago, I thought he moved off ball as well as he shot, which was really encouraging. We know he's so good contested shots, so good in transition, just pulling up. But again, you know, can it be a part of the half-court identity? A big part of that will be him staying active, him moving. And I think that's why we saw him, you know, sometimes it gets hot in the first quarter, then you don't hear from him for three quarters. But he contributed the whole way through in Chicago, and I think it's because he hunted his shot within the offense, and that didn't just mean jacking it up. It meant moving his feet and finding open space.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I've loved kind of, you're right, there's times where you go, man, MPJ's got it. He's figuring it all out. And then a couple of series later, you're thinking, oh, that was interesting. But that's the journey that we're on, I suppose, with Michael Porter Jr. Brendan, true or false, it's possible for Nikola Jokic to be even better this season, but not come anywhere near winning the MVP because of the point total situation.
True. I think we're really kind of heading towards that territory if we're not in it already. I mean, what a glorious juxtaposition.
Oh my gosh, right?
Between, well, look at Jokic and Embiid's performances the other night. So Embiid goes for, it's one of the best stat lines I've ever seen, right? Nearly 60 points, all those blocks. And it's incredible. I am not taking anything away from him. But then you look at Jokic, and it's, well, he had 12 assists in the first half to one turnover, and the game's essentially over halfway through the third quarter. And I'm not taking anything away from Embiid's performance, but just wanting to highlight if it were up to Jokic, this is what his dominance looks like. This is how it manifests. If the offensive rating is near 130 in a half and he's just all he needs to do is pass, he's happy to do it. So I don't think we're going to see him approach MVP for myriad reasons. But like you said, I don't think that means his impact is any lower.
Well, that's what's crazy. When you look at the stat line, you go, and again, he didn't play in the fourth, but you go 4 for 4, and then, but then 6 rebounds, 14 assists, 3 steals, all in, you know, 2.5 quarters. I don't even know the amount of time, 20, 25 minutes or something like that.
Yeah.
It's just crazy. But yet I still watch him and I go, that's the best player in the league. He's just not doing it in the conventional way. And that's Joker's game. But we all know what the NBA looks at. They look at the point total first and foremost. And it is. It's going to be interesting to see how this one shakes out. But Joker, you've said it a million times, Brendan. He would rather it this way. I want 20 assists and 8 points and to grab some bench in the fourth and rest.
Totally. I think in the first 5 games, you could have made an argument he was a little too deferential. And here's the thing. We want both, you know, both sides of this. We love to go, look how dominant he is without shooting. And then we get frustrated when he doesn't shoot. But I do think there's a middle ground there, right? It's all well and good to be the facilitator in the first half. But if a third quarter calls for you going back into MVP scoring mode, put your head down and do it. In the first 5 games, I don't know if he was quite in that mindset. He's there now, and a result of his approach, his preference of setting everyone up, I think is the, you know, I think that's the reason why you're seeing Porter looking as good as he does, why Murray maybe looks a bit ahead of schedule. Jokic is more interested in building up the utility of the collective five than going for another MVP. I bet he would be thrilled to be nowhere near those conversations.
He wouldn't have to do interviews or anything like that, right? So he could stay away from that. Don't you think, and again, two different players, but LeBron James used to do this, especially in his heyday, where you knew he could score or at least come darn close to it every time if he wanted to. But instead, he got his teammates involved early so that they were in the flow, they were feeling it, they were loosened up by the time the fourth hit. Sometimes I look at Joker and I think, man, that's the same way. The guy can threaten to score anytime he wants to, but if he gets everybody involved, that's just going to make his life easier in the fourth period.
If he could set the tone of, hey, I don't have to do this for 4 quarters, he would love to. And it's not just about preserving the gas in his tank. I think he understands that at the team's best, it's going to look that way. As dominant as he is, you prefer not to have all 5 defenders keyed in on him on the court, and that's quite possible with all the talent around him and what he's so dedicated to getting them going. So it's a thin balance to walk, a thin line to balance to walk here. I mean, sometimes I thought in the first couple weeks of the season they could have used a little more assertiveness from him, but he doesn't need my help. He's the back-to-back MVP for a reason, and he's got this team humming now at this point to the season.
Some overall NBA questions for you, Brendan. When you look, because I mean, right now you're looking at Milwaukee, Boston. They're on tears, of course.
Sure.
But in the Western Conference, what's going on? Like, I don't understand what's happening.
Yeah, I mean, well, Portland is a really fun story. As much as I hate to admit it, it's probably not so fun for Denver Nuggets fans. But they're playing well. They're playing much better defense than anyone expected. They do have 4 buzzer beaters, though. So I do think this is a team for, as well as they're playing, there's a little bit of, you know, luck and variance in play here in terms of crunch time results. We'll see how that goes. The Clippers and the Warriors were supposed to be up top, you know, with the Nuggets, with the Suns, and looking as dominant as anyone. And this is the thing with the Clippers. In their time with Paul George and Kawhi, they've essentially punted on the regular season, whether it be for Kawhi's health, Paul George's health, you know, just wanting to keep them fresh. And I think that matters. You know, I think that's a large reason why Denver was able to beat them in the bubble back a few years ago. I think it's why I'm not as scared of them this year as we were, you know, preseason, just looking at the roster. You got to build the winning habits. You got to take the lumps like Denver took in Boston. I don't know if the Clippers are going through that process, and the Kawhi injury is definitely a huge question mark. You know, I think Phoenix will be there when it's all said and done, you know, with Denver, and Golden State will probably figure their stuff out. But it's a competitive conference, and I think, you know, already in October and November, we're standings watching. I think these results matter. You know, if Denver wants to be a top 3 seed, they're going to need every win they can get. So it's a weird start in the West.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm watching the standings every night going, all right, where are the Nuggets? Where are they? What are they looking like here? But like we said, it's halfway through this month, this crazy road trip of a month, and the Nuggets are looking pretty good. Brendan, my man, what are you working on that we can check out at DNVR Nuggets coming up?
Well, I'm heading to practice next. We're going to have another show, 2 p.m. on non-game days, the DNBA show. We'll talk practice notes and more, and then we got a game coming up, of course. Just keep it locked with us. Keep it locked with us. Oh, we got a big announcement coming tomorrow with regards to that Serbia feature. So keep your ears open and eyes peeled. Check us out on Twitter at DNVR_Nuggets.
I still love what you guys did in Serbia. Some great reporting and just great storytelling from you. So we appreciate your time, my man.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
All right. The Nuggets are home tomorrow against the Knicks. Then they have that weird road swing with Dallas and Dallas. Then home against Detroit. I mean, they kind of got through the bulk of this crazy road trip already. I mean, we looked at November at the beginning of the season, Angel, and said, this is going to be brutal. I wouldn't be surprised if they're under 500. Well, they're 9-4. Got to be feeling really good about this team.
Yeah, and the way they're playing, the way we're just staying patient with this team because we know what they could be and what they can be at the end of the year. But these road games, they don't look fazed by them at all. Like, you go into, like, Madison Square Garden, you go into the Bulls Arena, these are tough places to play.
Yeah.
And maybe in Boston they felt a little rattled, but that was just a really good team. But they don't, they have the confidence to go into any arena and put up their best performance.
Nikola Jokic has got to be the most interesting best player ever. I mean, he's got to be, right? How many MVP-type guys do you look at and go, yeah, they're fine with just shooting the ball four times?
He had 8 points. Yeah, that's all right.
But, like, that, you don't see that in any other sport. Like, any other sport, you look at, whether it's Patrick Mahomes or in the NBA, when you look at Giannis and you look at hockey, I mean, these guys, they're going to get their shots. They got to get their stuff. Joker is just so unconventional that it's must, to me, it's must-see television. How's he going to try to win tonight? Oh, he's going to be an assist guy tonight. Oh, he's actually going to really focus on the defense. Oh, he's just going to facilitate at the top of the key. That's what's so fascinating to me about Nikola Jokic. 11:52 the time. Let's start wrap it up here for hour number one. We got the lunch rush coming up in the 12 o'clock hour. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
KFKA is your no-go home of the Denver Broncos. Hear games and news around the team on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.